down the field. He's got a man there, caught. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Shai Smith. Goes 97 yards. No flags. Touchdown, Carolina.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 35 of the Cockpit Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Phillips. This week's episode is brought to you by Southeast 7 Boutique. Guys, this is a boutique my wife runs via Facebook. Selling jewelry, like such as earrings, necklaces, bracelets, stuff like pocketbooks, little things. Christmas is coming up. You may have a wife, girlfriend, side chick, someone you need to buy a gift for that's not a male. So check her out. Just go on Facebook. She's live on every Sunday. Even when she's not live, you can always message her Facebook page and buy something from her then. So go check her out. Search Southeast 7 Boutique on Facebook. All right, guys. Like always, follow us on Facebook by searching the Cockpit Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Cockpit_podcast. Subscribe to us on all the major platforms such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more. And if you subscribe, please leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Jumping into this week's episode, let's start around scores from this past week, SEC games. As we all know, the LSU, Florida, and the Vandy and Mizzou game were postponed due to COVID incidents. Kentucky went on the road to number 18, Tennessee, and Kentucky won that game 34-7. Tennessee had four turnovers, three interceptions, and one fumble, and two of those interceptions were returned for touchdowns. Kentucky's defense only allowed for 287 yards, 112 yards passing, and 175 yards rushing. Kentucky's defense has nine interceptions in the last two games. They've been playing really good football on defense the last few weeks. Three of those interceptions, of those nine interceptions in the last two games, they've actually returned for touchdowns also. Their defense is getting in on the scoring, and that could be very scary for teams that's got to face them in the future. Offensively, Kentucky, it's not the greatest. They actually didn't score an offensive touchdown until the third quarter. Tennessee now has lost two in a row, is looking to lose three straight when they face Alabama this Saturday, which is good news for us, since considering we lost to Tennessee, and us having two losses, that third loss will help us jump ahead of them in the SEC standings. Ole Miss went on the road to play Arkansas. Arkansas won that game 33-21. Ole Miss threw six interceptions and fumbled the ball once for seven total turnovers. Ole Miss somehow still managed to put up 442 yards of offense, 200 yards passing, and 242 yards rushing. Ole Miss defense allowed for 394 yards, 244 yards passing, and 150 yards rushing. Ole Miss, they playing pretty sloppy on both sides of the ball. We got to play Ole Miss later on this season, and they're playing sloppy. Could be a game that we could win. So, looking forward to that matchup later on down the road. Number 11, Texas A&M, went on the road, played Mississippi State. Final of that game was 28-14 in favor of A&M. A&M held Mississippi State's air raid offense to just 217 yards, 219 in the air, and -2 yards rushing. -2 yards. When you hold a team to negative yards rushing, it's a big deal. But considering Mississippi State's going to throw the ball 95% of the time, when you realize that, it doesn't seem as impressive. But still, holding a team to -2 yards rushing, that's still pretty big. Mississippi State did rush the ball 20 times. So out of 20 times, they still couldn't gain a single yard. A&M's offense put up 325 yards, 139 yards passing, and 186 yards rushing. A&M is now 3-1 on the season and jumped to number 7 in the nation. They have a bye week Saturday and will play Arkansas before playing us on the November 7th. Number 3, Georgia at number 2, Alabama. Final, Alabama won 41-24. Georgia had the lead at half, 24-20, before being shut out completely in the second half. Georgia's quarterback, Stetson Bennett, threw 3 interceptions, while Alabama's quarterback, Mac Jones, threw for 4 touchdowns. Georgia's great defense gave up 564 yards, 417 yards passing, and 147 yards rushing. Georgia's offense did put up 414 yards, 269 passing yards, and 145 rushing yards. Alabama's offense, they appear just to be too much for Georgia's defense after halftime. It was a really close game if you watched it in the first half, but Alabama made the adjustments that Georgia couldn't and just straight out outplayed Georgia in the second half. Play Georgia, as we all know, later this season, Thanksgiving weekend, I believe it is. Still a really good team. They're going to be really tough to try to beat. But hopefully, seeing things that Alabama's offense did, Mike Bobo might see some ways we can put up some points and against that Georgia defense. All right. This past Saturday, Auburn came into town. A team we haven't beaten since 1933. We have not beaten since joining the SEC in 92. And South Carolina wins 30-22. Auburn at the time was ranked 15th in the nation. So getting a top 15 win is huge, especially on this season. We're playing a lot of ranked teams. This will be the third ranked team we played in the first four weeks. So getting one and getting our season back to 2-2 is huge right now. Offensively, put up 297 total yards, 144 yards passing, and 153 yards rushing. Colin Hill went for 15 for 24 for 144 yards, 1 touchdown and 1 interception, and rushed for another score. Kevin Harris had 25 carries for 83 yards and 2 touchdowns, and Deshaun Fenwick had 12 carries for 68 yards. Another productive game for our running backs. Kevin Harris is one of the top running backs in the SEC right now, and he's just out there just performing. I like how our running backs, they're very physical, go out, and even if they get stopped at the line of scrimmage, they're still finding a way to fall forward to get that 1 or 2 yard gain, and that's going to wear defense down eventually. So, and it shows as the game progresses, you see our running backs just getting better, starting to pick up more yardage and stuff, and it really opens up the receiving game, which struggled heavily in the first half against Auburn. But talking about our receivers, Shy Smith was our leading receiver. He had 8 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. Shy made 2 great catches, the first in the end zone, and the second was on a third down play where we went up over the defender with a nice one-handed grab. I believe that play actually made SportsCenter's top 10. So, but Shy, he's a guy who really came on in the second half, struggled with like every other receiver in the first half, dropped a few balls, but he recovered nicely and was a big part of why we won this game. Offensively, like I said, we struggled and dropped passes. The first half, we really struggled to move the ball. We punted the ball in our first 3 drives. Second half was much better. We scored on every position besides 2. And those 2, we threw an interception and punted the ball once in the second half. So the adjustments offensively we're making, I like. Because, I mean, it's definitely working. I would love to see a 4-quarter game where this offense is just hitting on all cylinders. Defensively, gave up 481 yards, 272 yards passing, and 209 yards rushing. The first half was a struggle against Auburn as well. Auburn did not punt at all in the first half. Auburn did throw 2 interceptions in the first half, which our offense was able to capitalize on, and that's why we were able to stay in this game early. Red zone defense was impressive throughout the game. Second half, defense got much better. Again, they made the adjustments to be able to stop Auburn a lot better than they did in the first half. Auburn, they punted the ball twice in the second half and defensively got another interception, which led to our offense scoring another touchdown. And the defense only gave up 6 points by two field goals in the second half. So big improvements from our defense from half to half and just completely for the whole team. And it came down to our defense making a stop at the end of the game to win it. Biggest player we need to talk about, though, J.C. Horn. The world finally got to see what we all knew for the last 3 years about J.C. Horn. Went up against Auburn's best receiver, Seth Williams, number 18, and just completely showed out. He only allowed 2 catches on 8 targets. He had 5 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, which were the first of his career. Coming into this game, JC hadn't even had a single interception and had 2 against Auburn. Him shutting down Seth Williams was huge in this win because Bo Nix has a lot of comfort when he can throw to Seth. And you can see he was not comfortable back there. He had to try to make a little more plays with his legs because he couldn't find his best receiver open when he threw to him. I mean, it wasn't there. Seth won one 50-50 ball all game against JC, and that was it. Like, he kept him out of the end zone. He didn't have a single touchdown and was able to pick the ball off twice that was thrown his way. Even on the third interception, JC's the reason why he got intercepted. He batted the ball down and for Jalen Dixon to be able to dive in and pick it off. As the guy just played flat out amazing. And because of that performance, JC was named National Defensive Player of the Week and Co-Defensive Player of the Week for the SEC. Shiloh Sanders, I think, was really impressive in his first start. He led the team in tackles with 10 total and 9 solo. Keir Thomas was back after missing last week against Vandy due to COVID issues, and he had 8 tackles and 2 sacks. It's good to have Keir back on that defensive line. He just makes that defensive line even better when he's out there, and it's good anyways. I think that's our strongest part on defense. Overall, it's just a great win for this program. You beat a top 15 team at home, and it's always good. Although sloppy in the first half, thankfully for some interceptions that our offense really took advantage on, this game could have really gotten ugly in the first half, guys. It could have gotten really ugly and gotten out of hand. But our team's fight, to see that this year, it's great, especially after the first 2 weeks. After it was rough. A big thing I like is our offense is turning turnovers into points. All 3 turnovers we got, we scored touchdowns on, and that's huge. We also, because of those turnovers, we left the game in a positive 2 in the turnover margin this year. So where we started -2 after the Tennessee game, to be able to flip that around and now we're in the positive. Our offense is doing well, taking care of the ball, and defense, we're finding ways to get the balls off of our opponents. And if we keep leading those into points like we did this past week, we're going to be a tough team to beat. But that's really it for Auburn. It was a great win. Like I said, great win for this program, great win for this team, and it gives us a lot of momentum coming in this week. This Saturday, October the 24th at 7 p.m., South Carolina goes into Death Valley, not the one that they considered up there in Retardville, the one down there in Baton Rouge. Big news came out today. Jalen Brooks has been cleared by the NCAA and will be playing Saturday. As we know, as I said earlier, LSU was supposed to play Florida last week, but COVID breakout on the Florida team caused that game to be postponed. Miles Brenning, LSU starting quarterback, is questionable for the game Saturday. Last I heard, he's very doubtful to play, so don't really know who's going to start. I guess we'll find out. Not completely ruling out Miles Brenning, but it's very unlikely that we will see him Saturday. He wasn't supposed to play at all this past Saturday against Florida, from my understanding. kind of became questionable, but seems like we're getting closer to Saturday. It's more of a doubtful, but he hasn't been completely ruled out yet. LSU is averaging 38.7 points per game and only allowing an average of 32 points per game. They are averaging 467.3 yards a game and only giving up 494.7 yards a game. LSU's been very productive on offense from what I've been able to see, but their defense has just been flat out terrible. Honestly, as bad as the defense is, we should be able to go out and really do what we want to. But we got to go catch the balls. And I think Jalen Brooks being in this lineup could really help that, because if this guy is what they've been talking about during spring, he's going to change. He's going to really open things up for this offense. LSU, they really appear to be heavy on the passing game with Miles Brennan. He's already thrown for 1,112 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. But we might not even see Miles Brennan in this game. So who knows how they're going to play with a backup cornerback, especially when their backups are true freshmen. LSU's leading receiver is Terrence Marshall. He has 21 catches, 424 yards, and 7 touchdowns. This is the guys I'm really expecting JC to probably cover. I don't know if he'll shadow him more like we've seen him do against Seth Williams, but if you can take this guy out and make him a non-factor, it's going to really hurt LSU offensively, because if Miles Brennan ain't there and you got a young quarterback, they're going to really look forward to that leading receiver, their best guy, to try to get him the ball. So you limit him and able to kind of shut him down, you're going to have a really good chance of winning this ball game. Rushing for LSU isn't really a huge factor. Their leading rusher is John Emery. He has 21 carries for only 137 yards and a touchdown. That's for the whole season, guys. That's their leading rusher. So I expect them to really throw the ball more than run. But like I said, it might be something completely different if Miles Brennan ain't there. They might try to run the ball more, establish a run game a little bit better to settle in at that young quarterback. As of right now, LSU opened up as a touchdown favorite on Saturday night. I believe right now the line when I last checked is 6 points, so it's still about a touchdown favorite. At the start of the year, I had no doubt we were losing this game. There was not a thought in my mind that we could win this game. But after seeing how LSU has played and their losses to a bad Mississippi State team, their only win is against Vanderbilt, who I think everybody is going to be that plays Vanderbilt this year. And then they lose to Mizzou. They're a very beatable team. This is not the LSU team of 2019 with Joe Burrow and all those guys. This is a very different team, and they're nowhere near as good. LSU at night, though, is always going to be a tough place to play, even when with the limitation on fans. I think it's going to make it a little bit easier, but I expect that place to still be very loud. I believe our offense will be able to score points. Biggest thing is we've got to catch the football. And we got to stay balanced like we have been and keep the run going. That's one thing I like about Mike Bobo. He's not going to desert the run and go pass heavy. He's going to keep on with the run and just wear defenses out doing it. And it really opens up the passing game when it is struggling. So defensively, I think we're going to have a good chance to make some plays on the ball, especially when you throw the ball as much as they have been. You're going to give guys opportunity to go up there and make interceptions. We're really going to need all this to get the win. So we haven't beaten LSU since 94, which is last time we beat them. We beat them in Baton Rouge. So this will be a good win for this program. Also, it'll be another Tiger we take down on the year. And it's always good to beat Tigers. Let's be real. No matter where they're from, if we can come out with a win this game, it's going to give us a winning record, which a lot of people thought was going to be very difficult, especially in this first half of the season. And if we come out on a 3-game win streak with a 3-2 record, if we can win this game. It's going to be huge going into the bye week and leading into the second half of the season. But guys, that's really it for this week's episode. Don't forget to follow us on all social media. Leave us a review. But like always, it's Spurs up, it's Cox or nothing, and it's Go Cox.